Good afternoon. How's everyone doing? You guys ready for the word? All right. Well, the notes should have been handed to you when you came in. Usually they're on my blog, brendanwitten.com, and on the app. I realized today in the hustle and bustle, I had forgot to hit post on the notes, so they'll be up online a little later. Before we jump into the message, though, it's just good to see everyone today. I want to just remind you or highlight a couple of the announcements and just make sure that things are really clear for them. First and foremost, I want to remind you about the CAP Money Course. Everyone say CAP. CAP stands for Christians Against Poverty. You saw the focus here on the screen. It is starting today after second service. Paul Martin, our community outreach director, is overseeing it. He also is a former credit counselor. And so this is a great three-week course. There is no cost for it. And basically, it just talks about practical budgeting tools, things that you can do to get your finances in order. And so even if you hadn't signed up as of yet, you can still plug in. You can get involved. You can just show up at the class. We want to encourage you in that. Secondly, we wanted to mention, we realized this morning, the slide was up for Operation Christmas Child. And I know many of you have already brought in shoeboxes. Actually, it was interesting. I was talking with one of the members who told me, she said, you know, my family was actually on the other end of these boxes. Because she said, originally, at home in our country, she said, before we moved to Canada, my dad ran a ministry for people, and we would take these boxes and actually take them out to kids. So it was really cool. So here's the deal, though. Today is actually the deadline for the boxes. So if you didn't get a chance, you could get one today, run out, and bring it back. But it's after today, we're shipping it to the depot, and then by that point, I think it's in Milton. So what you can do, though, if you want to be part of it, there is an option to pack a box online. And so just to pay and pick some items that will go in a box. So we just wanted to mention that as well. Couple things, too, to really just mark your calendar for. We had an amazing weekend this past weekend. We had an awesome time at Altered Prayer this last Friday night. And the last night, we had a great couples event. And so we had just a real fun time in here last night. So it's been a great weekend. A couple highlights of what we're looking forward to. Obviously, you saw the Home for Christmas event. That is on Saturday the 14th from 12 till noon. It is going to be an amazing family event. And so just mark that on your calendar. Even if you don't have young kids, you can still come out and just be part of it. It's going to be a great time. And then the other element is that so the School of the Spirit is offering a master class with Emma Starks, who is a prophetic gift based out of the UK. She is actually someone that would be very difficult for us to get here at the church because she is really God's opening doors for her on a worldwide level. But she was in Toronto at another church, and she contacted us and said, my Saturday's free. Do you want me to come? So, of course, we were very excited to have her. And so, usually it'd be for those who are in School of the Spirit, but if you are particularly hungry and you want to be involved, it's going to be some prophetic training and some different things. Pastor Sharon has opened it up and said that you can get more people in, and more people can jump into it. So, if you want to go to the Welcome Center, you can get more information or contact the office. All right, well, let's just jump right into the Word of God today. I'm going to pray. We are continuing, as Jessica mentioned, we're actually in our final installment of our series, sermon series, In My Bag. And today I want to teach you a message I've titled Developing a Stewardship Mindset. Somebody say, Developing a Stewardship Mindset. Okay, that was okay, but I need you guys to wake up a little bit with me. I know it's the middle of the afternoon. Some of you may be already starting to think a little bit about lunch, but it's only 12:30. You'll survive. I want you to say with me, Developing a Stewardship Mindset. There we go. That's a little better. All right. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you today. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity I have to teach your word. Lord, we welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit here because we know that it's only by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that we really get things anyways. We are not meant to just read your word as some form of a textbook, but it is actually, the word is made flesh, dwelt among us. You are the word, but we know the word and we receive revelation of the word through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Holy Spirit, we've welcomed you here. Minister to us. I pray that people will hear not just what I say, but they'll hear what you say to them through what I say. And so Lord, we love you and we thank you for all this today in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said, amen. So developing a stewardship mindset. As you know, we are continuing and finalizing our series. I've really enjoyed this series this month. I've gotten lots of good feedback from people just about what God has been speaking to them, changes or things they've been in life. I've also got some feedback from people who are genuinely, this is newer for them, and they're genuinely kind of wrestling and asking questions. And I'm okay with that too, because the Word of God is something for us to grow in and to grow in together. And I don't want anyone doing something just because I said they're supposed to do it. I want you to go to the Word of God. I want you to pray over it. I want you to really hear in your heart God speaking to you about what you need to do.
And so I've been very thankful for this, but really our focus has been on discipleship in the area of our finances. God has really been stirring my heart again in a fresh way regarding the power and importance of discipleship. That each one of us are to grow as disciples. We are to be disciples who make disciples. And discipleship simply means following Jesus. And so the question that we've been asking and kind of working through is, how do we follow Jesus in the area of our finances? Right? If we're going to follow Jesus with our life, I want to do it in every area of my life. And I don't know if you've noticed this, we've commented this several times, but sometimes we can be very good at following Jesus in some areas of our lives, but then we can really struggle in other areas. And in essence, the kind of discipleship that we want, it really, if we're only kind of discipled in some areas but missing other areas, that it's really not true discipleship. Because true discipleship is when I follow him with everything. Amen? And so we've been talking about this, and we've been talking about this area of our lives. We've been talking about the call on us as believers and as a church family to be a blessing to nations. And this has just been growing in my heart. We are called to be a blessing to nations. You are called to be a blessing to nations. That's what the Bible says. And so we know the number one primary way that we're going to be a blessing to nations is through the gospel of Jesus Christ going to the nations and transforming lives and transforming systems and transforming nations. But there's a piece that's so important to this, which is finances and resources, which help that to happen. And so part of the call to be a blessing to nations is the call to steward finances and resources to do what God has called us to do. And that's one of the things that I believe there's a very strong grace on this church. If you're part of this church family, it automatically becomes something that you can step into. But we are called, part of our calling, is to be a distribution center for resources to advance the gospel and advance the kingdom of God. Amen? God wants to get it to you so he can get it through you. That is part of our call. And so we've been talking about this, though, but we've brought it back to the place that if we are going to be entrusted with resources and finances to advance the gospel, we first have to abide by the principle that if we are faithful with little, we'll be made rulers over much. And so what that means is we need to make a decision. That's where this title comes, In My Bag. In My Bag, again, for maybe someone who's here for the first time, is a phrase that refers to being focused, diligently working on something, being in the zone. And so what we're saying is we want to be in our bag. We want to be focused, diligent regarding where our faithfulness right now. Why? Because when we're faithful with little, then we can be made rulers over much. And so that's part of what God is doing in us and working in us. Now, what we've been focusing on, and I'm just laying a foundation here again before we get to work, is we've been focusing on four important keys of being in our bag. First and foremost, we talked about checking our heart. Secondly, last week, we talked about the importance of committing to tithing, bringing our first fruits, bringing our first 10% to the Lord. And I shared with you why Pastor Sharon and I are committed to this and why we've built this into our lives. And so we talked about that. And you can obviously listen to those messages online. We then also said we are going to talk about committing to good stewardship and committing to radical generosity. And so what I actually want to do in this teaching today in closing is I want to focus on those last two points, and I want to talk to you about the connection between the two. And if we are committed to good stewardship, how it's actually going to lead us into a place of radical generosity. So you guys ready to get to work here? All right, so let's go. Let's talk about committing first. We need to commit to good stewardship. Now, if we're going to commit to good stewardship, we need to define what good stewardship is. So the word stewardship actually means it is the job of taking care of something or supervising something that is not your own. Can I say that again? Stewardship is the job of taking care of something or supervising something that is not your own. Now, there's two things I want to take from this definition as we talk about committing to good stewardship. The first thing is I want to talk about this element here about taking care or supervising something well. Part of what God wants to grow in us, if we are going to be distribution centers, if we are going to be people who are blessing the nations, guys, it's just this very practical element of we need to take care of what we have, and we need to be diligent. We need to be, you know, we need to handle things properly. Sometimes people fall into the trap where they want to be very spiritual. They want to talk about tithing. They want to talk about what God is going to do. They want to talk about, yo, okay, giving, and these are all good things. They want to talk about, you know, taking authority in the spirit and devil, get your hands off my money, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And yet, when it comes to the practical order of your financial life, it's an absolute mess. Guys, and I want to encourage you, these principles of the scripture work hand in hand with everyday wisdom in our finances and in our possessions. That is part of good stewardship. You cannot expect biblical principles and supernatural occurrences to always overcome your lack of discipline, your lack of order, and you're not caring for what you needed to care for. You know, some people are like, oh, you know, Pastor, the devil's after my finances. The devil is just right up in the midst of my finances. He's attacking me in my finances. I say, oh, really? So the devil's taking your credit card and going to the mall and swiping it over and over and over again. Wow, you know, it's just like, I'm like, I don't know if that's the devil who's attacking your finances right now. I think maybe you are not being wise with your finances, right? And there's a piece of stewardship that really matters. There's a piece of saying, okay, I'm going to get things in order in my life. That's why I love the Cap Money course that we're talking about, because it helps us to bring order into our lives. See, if God is going to entrust us with resources, how many of you know he needs to be able to trust us with the resources? Anyone here have a family member, a friend, a spouse, someone in the circle of your life that you love very much, but you have a hard time trusting with things because they always lose them? Maybe you shouldn't raise your hand if it's your spouse right now or anyone else around you. Right? I mean, it's like, you know, you love this person, but you know, I just can't trust them with certain things because they just lose it all the time. I was joking first service thinking about my kids, especially my son. Man, I mean, I pray for an anoint winter hats and winter gloves and everything else, because I hear you come home from school, it's like below zero. I'm like, where'd your gloves go? I don't know. Where'd your hat go? No. Why do you not have your coat? Where's your coat? I don't know where my coat is. What do you mean you don't know where your coat is? I mean, I swear with my son, he'd lose his head if it wasn't screwed on properly. Right? Like, it's just, so part of it is, I have a hard time trusting him with anything of value. It's not that I don't love him. It's not he's going to, but he's always losing it. And I was joking in first service. My wife wasn't there, but I said, no, my wife's probably nodding and looking at me going, yeah, but you lose a lot of stuff too, as she nods. But that is, we're not preaching about me right now. We're preaching about somebody else. Right? And sometimes I'm in the spirit, right? I'm just in the things of God. I'm thinking about, and I just don't remember where I put my keys, okay? So that's different, all right? But see, here's the point. See, when you, now I think I come by it naturally, though. My father forgot one of us at the shopping mall one time. And so that's one of the first stories. I'm going to get you on that one, Dad. He came home, and my wife said, which one of us was it? Who was it, Mom? She can't remember. It was one of us. She's like, where's Joel? My dad's like, oh, Joel. Oh, okay. So back to the mall he goes, right? Well, I promise you, my mother didn't trust him quite as quickly to go back out with the children to the mall the next time, right? If I did that, I don't think my wife would trust me forever to go back to the mall with my children. But see, here's my point. It's like if someone is losing something all the time, and maybe sometimes they're not good at keeping track of it, you're not going to entrust them with more, are you? Not because you don't like them, but because you just can't trust them. So listen, if God gave you $1,000 and you don't even know what to do with it, and somebody, God, give me resources. Listen, you don't even know how much money is in your bank account. Maybe you don't even have a bank account. You don't know how to handle things. You pray in the spirit every time you go to debit. Please let there be money, God. Please let there be money right now. That is not the candidate that God says, I'm going to give you more resources. Right now, I'm not trying to hate. I'm not trying to be hard on you. What I'm trying to do is to encourage you that part of being a steward is saying, I'm going to be responsible with what God has given me. I'm going to respond. That's why I loved it. I loved what Erin was sharing today in offering, because she'd shared a bit with us the journey, and she did it. And she and some friends got together and said, we are going to hold each other accountable to make some changes in our lives to get this debt out of our lives. And they cut back on eating out. They cut back on some other expenses. They made some choices together in unity, encouraging one another. Why? Because they said, we're going to get things together. And part of it is because God's got some bigger things for them. Right? And sometimes we're blaming the devil, but it's not the devil, it's us. Right? He doesn't even need to do anything. I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe he like just makes you see that new sale that's happening, or makes you see this, or that new tech, you know, that comes, oh, I've got to have this. No, you don't have to have it. Amen. I can be a little guilty of it myself, but it's bringing things in order. I really want to encourage you as we come into 2020. God has so much for us, but he's looking for us to get things in order in our life so we are ready. Get your money in order because some big things are coming that God has for you. Get your house up. Go clean up your car in the name of Jesus. Right? How are you going to bring people to church when in the middle of revival when you're embarrassed to let anybody into your car? Oh, man, you guys are getting quiet on me, all right? Clean up your house. Get things together. Say, okay, God, what do I need to bring into place? Because if there's disorder anywhere in our life, we are not going to steward new things very well. If it's already a mess and God gives us more, it's just going to turn into a bigger mess. Right? And so there's this place of saying, okay, we're going to work together. And it's you have to grow and you have to change and you have to challenge yourself on things sometimes. But it's time to bring these things into order so we can steward even more. Amen? There's a prophetic element on this word, guys. If you will say, God, I'll be faithful with what I have. I'm going to bring it into order. I'm going to bring things to alignment. God says, there's a son or daughter that I can trust with more. And so that's part of good stewardship. Everyone say good stewardship. So that's the first part, but it's interesting because stewardship is taking care of something or supervising something that is not your own. Here's the second part. And I want you to really think about this because I hadn't really thought about this way. I don't think I've ever taught it quite this way before. It's not like some brand new revelation, but it was very new for me in some ways. Here's the second part of stewardship. Number one, I'm going to handle things well. But number two, whose stuff is it anyways? Your money. Who does it really belong to? Your stuff. Your possessions. Who does it really belong to? Because a steward is carrying or supervising that which is not their own. And so if we're going to embrace stewardship, family, what I'm saying is we begin to embrace this revelation that everything I have belongs to God. It's not that he hasn't given it to me, but here's how it goes. Is Jesus our Lord? How many people Jesus is your Lord? Amen? Some of you are like, okay, you're hitting this hard. I'm just not going to raise my hands no matter what because I'm not sure what the trick question is right now. No, here's the point. Jesus is our Lord. When you commit to lordship, what you actually do is you commit your resources, your time, your energy. Everything you have comes at the disposal of that Lord. And so part of lordship in our finances is this recognition that God, this is not mine and I'm going to be nice and give you a little bit of it. This is yours and I'm committed to do whatever you want me to do with my money, my time, my resources, my finances, everything I have, God, is yours. I'm committed to steward it well for you. See, then as a steward, actually let's look at this, 1 Corinthians 6:19b-20. It says, you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Someone say, I'm not my own. Come on, someone say, I've been bought with a price. Say, I will glorify God with my body. So if I'm going to glorify God in my body, would it be theologically correct to say I should be glorifying God with my money? Should it be theologically correct to say I'm going to glorify God with my possessions? Would it be theologically correct to say, I need to glorify God with my vehicle, with my home, with anything that I have? I am no longer my own. I've been bought with a price. And guys, think of how it looks in the spirit realm when someone is redeemed, they're born again, they're bought back by God. They say, Jesus is my Lord. But then they're like, God, don't talk to me about this area of my life. Don't talk to me about it. Right? We get caught up into that, but think of how that looks when we truly understand, man, I was totally lost without him. I've been bought with a price. He saved me, redeemed me. Man, everything I have, God, is at your disposal. It's not going to last for eternity anyways. What do you want me to do with it? That's what stewardship is. Stewardship is I'm going to be a faithful manager. I'm going to take care of things properly. But it also means I recognize this is not my own, but this belongs to him. How does your life and your perspective and your choices change when you realize it belongs to him first and foremost? And this is the revelation I believe God wants us to grow into. As stewards, our goal is not to do what we want to do, but what he tells us to do. That's what stewardship means. It's I've come to a place where I truly, and some of you need to do this, even if you have to take your wallet or take your debit card or take something, almost like prophetically, put it on the altar. Don't leave it. Take it back. But put it on the altar and just say, God, this is yours. That's part of the call of Christianity. It's not invite God into your life and let him just kind of come and be a consumer and take little parts to make my life better. No, you guys know this. The gospel is I leave everything and I follow you. I come after you. I am not going to have a life that's my own. But sometimes we don't make that jump because we still see our money, our possessions, our finances as just ours. God's asking me to do this with what's mine. God's asking me to do this. I go, well, no, wait a minute. You own everything in me. And I've already said yes. I don't have to think about it when I know. Sometimes you got to find out and discern what God's saying. But I know you're saying to do it. I don't have to even think about it. I've already made a commitment. I've already said yes. Right? That's the call of the Christian life. I've already said yes. One important note I want to make. And just when we're talking about stewardship, good stewardship does not mean being cheap. Amen? Let me say that again. Good stewardship does not mean being cheap. Some people, good stewardship is a code word for finding the cheapest option and just going as cheap as possible. We want to be good stewards. No, but stewardship is not being cheap. Stewardship is telling, doing what the Lord tells you to do. So if the Lord tells you to do something extravagant, if the Lord tells you to do something over the top, if the Lord tells you to do it and you disobey and you go find the economical option, you are actually in disobedience, not in obedience. Right? See, it's His stuff. He needs to tell you what to do and then you need to do it. And I'm not talking about being wasteful. I'm not talking about being just ridiculously extravagant for the sake. But I am talking about stewardship. It's not cheapness. Stewardship is obedience. Right, there's certain things that even around here at the church, part of our heart and excellence. We're not always going to find the cheapest option because we want to honor God and we want to honor people. And yeah, we want to be wise with the decisions we make, but it is not just about cheap. That's not the goal. The goal is to honor and love people and to honor and love God and to serve the best way we can. That's what stewardship is all about. But when I embrace stewardship, what happens is I say, God, this is not mine anymore. This is yours. You tell me what you want me to do. See, and right at the start of that, we talked about bringing our first fruits. Again, this is not mine. This is yours. You tell me what you want to do. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to obey. And then what happens is, this then leads us into radical generosity. And so good stewardship will then lead us into a place of radical generosity. You know, we've been talking about being a blessing to nations. And let me just preach on that for a second longer. You are called to be a blessing to nations. We are called to be a blessing to nations. We are in Christ. We are Abraham's seed. Therefore, we are heirs according to the promise. That's what it said in Galatians 3:13. And I know there might be some people who kind of scoff and just say, look at you, the little pastor in this little church in Toronto, talk about being a blessing to nations. But guys, you first got to get it in here before it shows up out here. You first got to start dreaming it and believing it before you see it. You got to start declaring it and calling those things that be not as though they were. But we are called to be a blessing to nations. We are called to impact nations for the glory of God. The nations of the world have come here to Toronto, and we are perfectly positioned in the most multicultural city in the world to be a blessing to nations. You don't even have to hop on a plane. You can be a blessing to nations right here. This is the call, and this call to be a blessing to nations is radical generosity. We talked about catching the vision. What if you started dreaming about giving 50% of all you made into the kingdom of God? 60%, 70%, 80%, 90%. I would say just in the church. I'm talking about all across the kingdom of God. But God was blessing you to such a place that you had more than enough on the percentage you used and the rest you could use to be a blessing to multitudes. You could be a blessing to nations. See, that is radical generosity. You and I are called to radical generosity. Let's look at a couple verses about this and just look in the Word of God. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Proverbs 19, verse 7 says this, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deeds. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says this, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. Let me encourage you, just even as we go to these scriptures and several thoughts. First and foremost, you are called to radical generosity. I know for many of us, we struggle with that, sometimes because of just what we grew up in. Sometimes it's just because you're looking at me going, I live in Toronto. If I could even buy a house, I'd think it's a miracle. And that's the realm. But I want to encourage you today. I want you to stretch your faith. I want you to just stretch your spirit and say, God, you're calling me to radical generosity. You are a child of the King. You are a child of God. Everything he has belongs to you. That's what stewardship is all about. That is what it's talking about. But it first starts in a spirit of faith in our heart. And it starts with an intention and says, I'm going to be radically generous in the name of Jesus. See, we can't wait until we have to decide to be radically generous. That's backward in the kingdom. In the kingdom, you've got to first step out in faith, and then things will begin to manifest the way you need them to manifest. But I want to encourage you. You know, we've been talking even last week and talking about tithing. Tithing is the starting point because God has so much more for you. There's this call to radical generosity. It connects very much to stewardship. Because, see, when you, don't get ahead of myself here. We're called to radical generosity. Next, here, though, the second thought. Often our struggle, and I know this has been my struggle, often our struggle is with a scarcity mindset. Let me explain what I mean to you with this. What most of us struggle with when we talk about tithing, giving, especially when we talk about radical generosity, is we still have a perspective that I have my stuff and I have a cell phone. This is my only cell phone. Now, if I give my cell phone to Chantel, she'll take it. iPhone 11, it's real nice. All of a sudden, now here's what scarcity mindset says. I had a cell phone, I'm giving a cell phone, now I don't have a cell phone. Oh man, I lost my cell phone. I don't know, my life is over. I don't have a cell phone. But that's what the scarcity mindset says. The scarcity mindset says if you give what you have, you won't have anything more. But see, when you embrace a stewardship mindset, you understand my life is not my own. I'm a child of the King, and I have access to the resources of heaven. So if the King tells me to give my cell phone, he is not going to leave me without something because he's a good father. And I need to understand he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the world and the fullness thereof. And he's got more than enough cell phones for anything I need. And so all of a sudden, Kayla, if I can borrow your cell phone as an example, she's like, she doesn't want to give it. All right, so she does. I just play with her. She's doing social media for me here. So there we go. Now all of a sudden I've given. What happens is when I give, it opens up my hands to steward more. And not only does it open up my hands to steward more, but God looks at me and says, oh, there's someone I can trust to get more too. Why? Because they're not withholding, but they are embracing radical generosity. Thank you very much, Kayla. I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Chantel, for example. What are you holding on to right now that you are worried about losing, and it's actually the stoppage and the block point for what God wants to pour out? See, what did the Bible say here? It said, if you look back at those verses, when you are generous to the poor, you lend to the Lord, he will repay you. One who gives freely grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. What does the devil say to us? Don't give. Don't be radically generous. Don't do it. Hold on to that phone. Hold on to it. Why? Because if you give it, you're going to have want. If you give it, you're not going to have enough. He's actually flipping the principle on us, because God said, if you give, then you move into the stewardship flow. And God says, I'm going to get more to you. Why? Because I can get it through you. But if you buy into this withholding, and usually withhold because of fear, what we actually do is we actually put ourselves in the situation we're afraid of. See, it's counterintuitive. It's countercultural. It flows differently, but that's the way the kingdom of God is. You've got to learn to take that step of faith. Put your bread on many waters, the Bible says, and then you'll find it comes back to you. He who waters will be watered. Don't withhold it. Put it out there and trust God. Amen? Someone tell your neighbor, trust God. And so we want to build this stewardship mindset, which is my third thought. If I give what I have when God tells me to, it's because he's got more coming. It's because he's got more on the way. I've learned this lesson over and over again, but I'm in a new season of trusting God with this even more. Because I'm the one who likes to have things ordered. I like to have things well planned out. I like to make sure everything's together. I have backup plans for my backup plans. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I'm just that kind of person. But I've had to keep building myself, and I am stewarding this. And if God tells me to do something, it's His anyways, and I need to trust Him. He's just going to bring more through, and He's always going to take care of me and my family. And He actually wants to bring increase. But what happens, guys, is when we withhold, we actually lock ourselves into a cycle of scarcity. We think we're protecting ourselves. But what we're actually doing is we are trapping ourselves in a cycle of scarcity. Break the cycle today in the name of Jesus and make a commitment to say, I'm going to commit to a level, a life of stewardship and a life of radical generosity. I'm not going to hang out in the boat anymore. Yeah, if you stay in the boat, you may not sink, but you probably might anyways because it can only last in a storm so long. It's a lot better to start stepping out of the boat and walking on the water with Jesus. But you're never going to do it if you never step out in faith. You will never see generosity testimonies in your life if you always withhold and you never step out. And so my call to you today is break out of the scarcity mindset. Break out of this perspective and say, God, I'm committing to radical generosity. That doesn't mean I'm going into debt doing stuff or doing foolish things. It means where I am with what I have, I'm going to find ways to be radically generous. I'm going to find ways and I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. Someone say it with me. I'm going to trust God. Let's look at this verse in 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 19. It says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. See, when I put my hope in wealth, what do? I withhold it because that's where my hope is. But see, he says, don't put your hope in wealth. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in Him. If I put my hope in God, what I do is I do whatever He tells me to do. Right? That's what putting my hope in God is. Who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. See, God says, listen, son, daughter, don't put your hope in wealth by withholding. Now, I'm not talking about not having good savings plans, don't plan for retirement. I'm not talking about that. We talk about that in Cap Money course. What I'm talking about, though, is where my hope is. And will I live radically generous or will I live out of a place of fear? God says, put your hope in me. He says, anyways, I give you all things. I richly provide everything for your enjoyment. I'm going to take care of you. He says, command them, those who are rich, to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that it may take hold of the life that is truly life. Now, let's talk about this for a second. The minute I read the first three letters of the first three words of that verse, well, not the first three, the first several, command those who are rich, a whole bunch of you went, okay, this is not for me. You immediately clicked off in your mind. You went, okay, this is talking to somebody. Okay, this is a verse for the very few people in our church who are rich. The very few people have money. We don't even know what that's defined as. We just go, oh, it's not for me. Okay, this verse, this teaching was really good right up till now, but now Pastor Brennan's talking to somebody else. But let's talk about this. Do you know that if you make $100,000 a year, that you are in the top 0.11% of richest people in the world? Do you know that if you make $60,000 a year, you are in the top 0.38% of richest people in the world? Do you know if you make $40,000 a year, you are in the top 1.13% of the richest people in the world? Maybe we are sitting here saying, I'm not rich, these things don't apply to me, but God stepping back, looking at a global perspective says, no, I'm talking to you. You are in the top 1% in the world. Not only that, you've been blessed to live in a nation with a relatively healthy economy where you have opportunities by faith to grow in seeing increase in your life. What if part of the call on the North American church was to actually say, part of our job is to raise finances to help our brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world. Now, I'm not saying many other places don't have wealth or economics too, but there's this element, guys, of a lot of times we are not weighing hold of what God has for us. And I'm saying, now I know there's a piece where you're like, yeah, but cost of living and all this stuff is there, but I'm talking about the spirit of it because he says, if you're rich, and we have been very blessed, we are to do good. We are to be rich in good deeds. We are to be generous. We are to be willing to share. This is the word of God for us, guys. What if we said, God, I want to start being obedient to this verse. Show me how. And we break a scarcity mindset that says, if I give my one and only, watch that. If I give my one and only phone, then I'll have nothing. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? John 3:16, God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his one and only son, but he didn't have a scarcity mindset. Why? He understood. He said, right now I have one son, and I've got a whole world that's been separated from me by sin. But if I will take that one son, and I will give that one son in a radically generous way, what's going to happen is I'm not going to have none. I'm going to end up with billions of sons and daughters. Right? That's the point. He said, I'm going to operate in radical generosity. I'm going to give my very best. And I'm doing it out of love. I'm not doing it out of a pure motive. But my expectation is millions and millions and millions of sons and daughters. He could have kept that one and only son and just kept the one. Or he could have committed to radical generosity and ended up, he got his son back. And then he got millions and millions and even billions of sons and daughters. What if there is the millions and the millions and all this stuff that God has for you right on the other side of you starting to learn to take your one and only instead of holding on to it out of fear, learn to follow the Holy Spirit and become radically generous? What if this stuff is really true? What if God really is going to come through for you? He will. But you can't walk on water until you get out of the boat, family. Come on, Peter. It's time to go. And, you know, we tend to knock Peter. Oh, Peter, he got out of the boat. He started looking at the wind and the waves. You know, he was a whole lot better than the other disciples who stayed in the boat. Right? You know, you guys remember in the first message in this series, if Justin wants to come and help me close this out. Remember our first teaching, we were talking about the rich young ruler? I remember we were talking about dealing with the love of money in our life and how he came to Jesus. And Jesus was so impressed by him that Jesus basically invited him to become one of his 12 disciples. But the Bible says that the young man, but Jesus said, here's what you have to do. He didn't tell him, you have a love of money, but we can read between the lines. He said, you need to sell all you have. You need to give to the poor. You need to come follow me. And what happened? That rich young ruler, the Bible says, went away sad. And basically he said no to Jesus. Where is that house he loves so much now? Where are those clothes he loved so much now? Where is that money? You know, where are those donkeys or those camels? Who knows what he had that he loves so much now? He has become, God loves him, but he has become an example of what to do for all, of what not to do for all of eternity. He's still going to be in heaven, I'm sure, because he had a heart for Jesus. I mean, we don't know for sure. It doesn't even tell us his name. I want to encourage you. If you are withholding and you never grab a hold of this principle of radical generosity, I don't want you, but I don't want to be an example of what not to do. I want to be someone who steps out in faith. It was tough for him in that moment, but who knows if he'd stepped out, what books he might have written, what people he may have impacted, the journey he would have had for Jesus, but he turned it down for his stuff. Judas turned his back on Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. What are the 30 pieces of silver that are stopping you and me from maybe going all the way with him? What are the 30 pieces of silver? It means nothing. It's 30 coins, but God is saying, listen, I got this life of faith. I got this calling for you. I got this stuff for you. Would you just grab a hold of this principle of radical generosity and watch what I do? And it's interesting because here's what rich young ruler goes away. A couple verses later, this is what Jesus says to his disciples. He says, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come. Guys, just as we bring this to a close, here is my encouragement to you. You cannot outgive God. You can't do it. No matter how much you give, he is going to pour so much more back into you. But you've got to make a decision whether that's going to be a nice theology that Pastor Brennan preaches from the pulpit, or it's going to be a revelation that you walk out in your life. Because the only way it becomes a revelation that is real to you is when you take the step of faith and you say, I am going to step out into this. God, you own everything. I am a steward. I give it all to you. And now you show me what you want me to do, and I'm going to go on this life. And yeah, I promise you, sometimes your mind's going to give you fits. Sometimes you're going to be like, okay, Lord, you're telling me to do this, but you just again and again, and you watch him come through over and over and over again. You watch what he does in your life. And sometimes it doesn't happen right away. Sometimes you go through seasons of waiting on the harvest, but when it comes through, it is so worth it, guys. You cannot outgive God. And I love this. Jesus didn't run after the rich man. You notice that? He didn't run after him. Hey, hold on. Wait a minute. Wait, you know, I told you to give everything away. Sell the poor and give. But listen, the Bible says, you know, the words you were quoting to me, if you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord and he will repay you. It also says that anything you give up for me, you're going to receive multiplied back in this life and the life to come. This is a good deal. Please come be my disciple. It's a good deal. Jesus didn't do anything. He let him walk. Why? Because he was more concerned about getting after the love of money in his heart than he was in trying to get him to come follow him. What is, there's this, look in your hearts today. What is your rich young ruler point with the Lord today? What if he is calling you deeper? What if he's saying, you know, there's Luke 15, I don't have this reference, but Luke 15 talks about the good steward. Right? The wise steward. It was long story short, there was a man who was a steward of his resources. And Jesus told a whole story about him and how he actually did some shrewd things. They weren't technically correct, but Jesus said he was wise with unrighteous mammon. He said, how much more are the righteous not wise? And he said, if you will not handle possessions and money correctly, who's going to trust you with true riches? Guys, what if this was not just about more money? What if this was not just about getting a house or finance or all these things that God wants to richly bless us with? What if this was about so much more? And God is just here saying, listen, will you get a hold of this principle of stewardship? Will you get a hold of this principle of radical generosity? Because I got so much for you. He can see it. You can't see it because you're just caught up in your circumstances, your pressure, and the fear right now. But I'm up here from my God perspective, and I see all this stuff I got lined up for you. You just need to listen to me and obey me. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about my kids and Christmas, and my kids are very excited Christmas is coming. My daughter is especially excited Christmas is coming. She has now taken to telling me every morning how many days it is until Christmas. So we woke up today and she said, Daddy, it's 31 days to Christmas. She's also created her Christmas list. She's asking me for my Christmas list. And you know, I'm so excited about Christmas with my kids. I'm excited about giving them presents. I'm way more excited about giving them presents than I am about receiving presents. Like, I like getting presents, but I'm so much more excited. But can you imagine how it would make me feel as a father? For me, I have these great gifts I worked on. I budgeted for it. You know, I went out, I got these gifts for my daughter. And I went to give them to her. And she was like, nah, I don't want them. She's like, nope. Or maybe, I don't deserve them. I'm not taking them. How would that make me feel as a father? I probably wouldn't be angry. I'd be really sad. I'd be like, I have so much I want to give you. Why don't you let me give it to you? She says, no, I already got a toy. Yeah, no, but you can have more. Oh, no, the scarcity mindset. It's so afraid to let it go. Right? And I'm just like, I got so much for you. Will you just let go of that for a moment so I can give it to you? How does our Heavenly Father feel when he has so much to give us? I'm excited. Next week, we're going to start home. It's going to be our theme for Christmas. But we're going to be talking about just some fresh perspectives on the story of the prodigal son, which is really the prodigal father. But he's the father. And he says, I got so much for you, but I can't give it to you. It gets blocked up when you withhold. Will you trust me enough to step out of the boat? Will you trust me enough to step out of the comfort zone and watch what I'm going to do in your life? He's sitting there and he's watching you struggle and he's watching how hard it is. And he's saying, I got so much for you. You just got to trust me. Will you trust me with your money? Will you trust me with your possessions? And you know, guys, that's really where I want to bring this thing to a close, even in this series. Because ultimately, that's what it's about. It's about, will I trust God? That's really what it comes down to. Will I trust him? And I want to encourage you, trust him. Make that decision and say, God, I'm going to trust you. And not this kind of like fake religious trust where I'm going to trust you, but I'm really not trusting you. Like, I'm really going to trust you. I laughed. My daughter got in about a month ago into trust falls. Freaking me out, man. She's like, Daddy, catch me. She just calls. He's like, Daddy, trust fall to me. I'm like, heck no, right? Like, I'm not going to do it. But that's what someone's like, right? God's like, trust me, right? Trust me. You're like, okay, right? It's just like, and sometimes you try all this fake religious stuff. It's like, no, you just trust him. Just go. Well, we make this decision that, God, I'm going to trust you. Someone tell your neighbor, I'm going to trust God. And so can we close in prayer?